And that's one of the reasons why tonight I wanted to preach a message like I'm going to preach to you here in John chapter 4. And I know you guys have heard preachers preach, Sunday school teachers teach on John chapter 4. It's one of the truly great, remarkable passages in the Bible, isn't it? It's just a thrilling chapter, a story of Jesus going into Samaria, taking his disciples. And I love that verse. It says he must needs go through Samaria. Because he really had to go there, not only to reach the woman at the well and her village, but because he had a great lesson to teach his disciples. And I think the obvious lesson of John chapter 4, we're going to share that with you again tonight. You already know what the lesson is. That is that you lift up your eyes and look on the fields that are white unto harvest. But here's what happened to me when we came back several weeks ago. We came here to California, first of all, then we headed out to Texas to see my mother in Amarillo. Anybody ever been through Amarillo, Texas, Tumbleweed City? And it's a great place to live. But when I was growing up, we had a bumper sticker said, will the last person leaving Amarillo please turn out the lights? And most of us wanted to leave, although it's wonderful to go back there. It is a truly great place, great people back in Texas. But we went back there and to see my mother, who still lives there, right next door to her house, amazingly so, because you got to understand that West Texas is not Long Beach, okay? It's a lot, it's just a different type of feel, and not only is the weather different, but the mixture of people is somewhat different. So I'm walking into the house, and right next door to my mother is people from Myanmar. Burma. Anybody from Burma here tonight? I wouldn't be surprised if there's one or two. But you know where that is, don't you? It borders our province where we serve there in the city of Kunming. And so there's this family from Myanmar living there, bought a nice house. When they had an open house last year, they invited my mother to this open house. And lo and behold, she says, we got Burmese all over this city. And that was an amazing thing. We took our grandkids to the park. This was right after Christmas. It was a nice winter day there in Amarillo. The sun was shining. We went to the park. And I looked around as our grandkids played, and there were people from at least three or four distinct ethnic groups right there in the city park in Amarillo, Texas. And I'm going, wow, the world has really changed since Trisha and I left America back in 1982. Back in 1982, we may have had blacks and whites. We had some Hispanics in our city, but now we have people from many different ethnic groups, Central Asia, perhaps Southeast Asia, certainly, and Africa, and all over the world has converged on the United States of America. It's almost like God's doing something here. And I want you to think about that with me tonight as we look at this passage here in John chapter 4. We walked into a small storefront church just getting started in our city. I knew the pastor, and we went to a service there. And one of the things he said to me, he says, boy, our city, we have a refugee problem. We have so many refugees coming into our city. And I'm looking at this Baptist pastor, and I'm thinking, are you kidding me? Are you? That's a good thing, brother. That's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. And I know the politics of it, and I know what people are saying on the talk radio shows, and I know what some of our leaders are saying about the walls and all these other things, but I want to say to you tonight, as Christians, we don't need walls. We are not wall builders. We tear down walls, and we go through those walls to reach the people on the other side. And that's what this passage is all about. And so here's a premise of my message that I want to share with you for a few minutes tonight. The next great harvest field is the one which just moved down the street from you. Now, I realize this is Long Beach. This is different. You've had this mission field living next door to you. In fact, this church was originally Cambodian Baptist Church, wasn't it? And so you guys, I'm preaching to the choir tonight. But here's what I'm discovering as I go around and talk to brothers and sisters in Christ here in my country, is that a lot of them have not stopped to realize that those, whether you call them refugees or you call them immigrants or whatever they may be, and however they may get here, when they get here, God brought them here. And he brought them here for a reason. And if we don't understand that, if we don't see the fact that despite all of the differences, whether it is religious difference, we got Muslims coming into our country, we've got Hindus coming into our country, we've got all Buddhists coming into our, all kinds of religions and even non-religious people coming into our country. Why did God bring them here? And I think that's the message that we see so clearly conveyed. Here's what I want you to remember as we look at John chapter 4 tonight. Jesus takes his disciples into Samaria. Does anybody know? I don't even know exactly where he started on this little journey into Samaria. He was coming, going from one part of Israel, and he had to go through Samaria to get to another part of Israel. I understand that. But how long a trip was that? Anybody know? Some of you Bible college students, you should know that. You look that up tonight, all right? I'll quiz you on it tomorrow. I have no idea. But I do know one thing. He was able to walk there. Now, most of us in America, we don't know how to walk anymore. We drive. I mean, you're going down to Albertsons across the street, we get in our car and drive over there. And that's the way it is. But in those days, of course, they walked, didn't they? And they walked there for a reason. Well, they didn't have any other way to get there. But what's interesting is that it wasn't that far away. And I'm telling you that tonight, right here in Long Beach, all over California, and even in places that you can't imagine across America, there are people who have come to our country from all of these nations, all of these ethnic groups around the world. And that's our next great harvest field. Now, you say, well, man, you're a foreign missionary. You're supposed to be talking about foreign missions. I am talking about foreign missions, and I'm going to talk a lot about that to the students tomorrow. There's still a great need in the countries of the world, China certainly, and you've heard, I'm sure, Brother Johnny Esposito talk about that, and he's given you all the statistics about how few independent Baptist missionaries are in a great nation like China, 1.4 billion people and all of the rest. But I want to say to you tonight that you do not have to go around the world to reach the mission field, because the mission field is right outside your front door. And we need to see that, and we need to understand that and appreciate the ramifications of that. Because when we do, God could do a great work. And we'll talk about that as we get into this story. So let's bow our heads for just a word of prayer tonight, because I really want God to be in this message. I want God to speak to your heart as he has been speaking to my heart, and I hope and pray that he will. Father, thank you for the great privilege that is mine and my wife Trish as we come to Pacific Baptist Church. Thank you for the testimony that this church has around the world. Thank you for the Bible college and for the missionary outreach ministries that they have going to so many places, the teams that are being sent out. And Lord, just the enthusiasm of the people. We thank you so much for that. And we look forward to, Lord, tonight to what you're going to do, how you're going to speak to our hearts, and how you're going to do what you were trying to do for your disciples there in John chapter 4. God, I pray that you will show us some things and help us to see some things that perhaps we have not seen before. And we'll give you praise and thanks for what you do in each and every heart and life here tonight. In Jesus' name. By the way, I want to say, I don't know who the pianist was, but if you'd ever like to come to China, I'll do my best to get you a visa and you can come back to China with us. That's wonderful playing on the piano tonight. My wife and I just really thrilled to hear a great pianist and music like you guys were singing tonight. Well, so number one, the mission field was not very far away. By the way, before we get too far into this message, let me share several verses with you, because I think it's really good to get a biblical concept of what God is doing in the world and God's feel for the nations of the earth. And by the way, when we speak of nations biblically, we're not talking about political nations. We're not talking about Iraq and Iran and Syria and countries. We're not talking about nation states. We're talking about ethnic groups. The Greek word would be ethnos or ethne, something like that. Here's some verses. Let me just throw them out. And there's so many, many others as you go through the scriptures. Psalm 2, verse 8 says, "Ask of me," this is God the Father speaking to God the Son, I believe, and he says, "Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen," or the nations, "for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession." Psalm 22, 27 says, "All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee." Psalm 67, 4, one of my favorites, "Oh, let the ethne be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth." And of course, that famous one that we all know so well, Matthew 28, 19, "Go ye therefore and teach" who? all nations, all ethne, all the peoples of this earth. In Mark 13:10, the gospel must first be published among all nations, among all ethne. Luke 24:47, very much the same thing. Repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all ethne, all nations. Revelation 7:9, one of my favorite verses, and I hope it is yours too, because this points us to the future. It helps us to see what God wants to do on earth today. In your generation and in my generation, this is what he wants to do. Revelation 7 verse 9 says, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all what? Nations, ethne, and kindreds, and people, and tongues. And they stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. This is just a small glimpse of what God's going to do on that great day. What we're seeing here tonight. This is just a very small, microcosm of what God is going to one day do when he gathers the nations, the ethne, from all over the world. So that's the heart of God. That's the desire of God. That's the plan of God. That's the work of God, isn't it? Is to reach all the peoples of this earth, regardless. And may I just quickly in passing say, don't get too caught up in all the politics going on in our day, because as I mentioned earlier, there are those who want to build up walls, but our job is to bring those walls down. Our job is to cross over those walls. Our job is to reach the people on the other side of those walls. Well, how do we do that? Because if these ethne groups, all of these groups come to a place like Long Beach or Amarillo, Texas, or any other place across America, what's different about them? What is it that we need to know? And probably you guys can explain that much better than I possibly can, because some of you perhaps, I talked to one brother tonight, but some of you have perhaps crossed those boundaries. You have come from other nations and you now reside here in the United States. And so you have experienced somewhat of what we're talking about here tonight. But obviously, reaching into their lives is going to be different. How do I know that? Because when we crossed from this border into that border to go into mainland China, we had to learn how to do that. It wasn't an easy thing. It's amazing how much different it was just moving from Hong Kong into mainland China. Our whole approach to ministry changed drastically. And that was a good thing, because we learned to listen. We learned to sit and talk. We learned that it's not just our message that we need to communicate. It's their message that we need to listen to. And we need to spend the time and make the effort in order to understand where they're coming from and what their fears are, what their concerns are, what their problems are, if we're going to be able to carefully and powerfully communicate the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So here in John chapter 4, there are several obvious things that Jesus does that I think are very instructive for all of us. And I hope these things, even though you've heard these things before, I hope that they will be great reminders and lay a foundation for what I want to say in just a few moments. Number one, Jesus goes into this woman's context. He must needs go through Samaria. Oftentimes what we see happening in America, and I can't speak for Long Beach, you know Pastor much better than I do, but oftentimes ethnic groups will come to our country and they build up their own communities. Now that's not a bad thing. My wife and I many years ago went to Toronto, Canada to study linguistics for about a month, and they had us go to Greek town. They said, okay, you're gonna practice learning the Greek language. I knew nothing about, well, I'd studied Greek in seminary, but I didn't know anything about the Greek culture per se. And so we went to Greek town and man discovered baklava. Anybody know what baklava is? Oh brother, I tell you what, I died and went to heaven that day. And lamb, you know, roasted, oh, just all that pita and all that stuff. It's just wonderful stuff. Didn't learn much Greek that week, but we sure enjoyed the food. but we began to realize, wow, there's a whole community of people here, and they all kind of live in the same area, and they all kind of eat the same food, and they kind of continue on with their culture. And that's oftentimes what happens is, now, that's not a bad thing. That can be a very good thing in many ways, but that can make it even more difficult for us to reach over those walls and over those barriers that separate us, because when they come to our country, it's sometimes difficult to understand where they're coming from and they to understand why we're there and what we want to do for them. So Jesus goes into their context. And here's the thought. If you wait for people to come to you, they probably never will. They probably never will. I know that as an independent Baptist church, you guys have soul winning. Pastor's already talked about that on Saturday and on Tuesday night, and that's a wonderful thing. And we have, in our tradition, we have come to this idea that we're going to go out. This is our duty, and we're going to go out on Saturday, and we're going to go out on Tuesday night, and we've done our duty, and then we go back home and do whatever else that we've got to do for the rest of the week. But I'm saying to you that to reach the ethne that God is bringing to us, we're going to have to approach it a little bit differently. And it's not going to be comfortable. It's going to take you completely out of your comfort zone, probably going to take them out of their comfort zone, because they're going to wonder what you're really, you know, why you're doing this. But you're going to have to be willing to sit down with them, maybe take one of them out for lunch, maybe begin to build a relationship with them, get to know who they are. Some of you who perhaps have come to America from another country, what would you have thought if somebody from this country had approached you when you first got here? How would that have made you feel? Jesus does that with a woman at the well. He goes to where she is. He doesn't wait for her to come to him. You see, we're not the only ones who have walls. They have walls too. And sometimes those walls have been built up over time and through traditions. It's almost impossible for them to cross over their walls. So we've got to cross over our walls to reach out to them. So number one, figure out a way to go to the ethnic groups that are just down the street from where you live. Figure out a way. I'm not here to tell you how to do it. I'm here to tell you that this is what God wants you to do. He wants you to reach the ethnic groups in your community. And by the way, reaching them is not an exact science. I mean, you might be able to find a good book that would give you some great hints on how to go about doing that. And if you can find a book like that, by all means, read it. But the most important thing you can do is prayerfully reach out. Prayerfully reach out to people and say, I'm not going to let the fact that this person speaks a different language, lives in a different community from me, has a different set of values, I'm not going to let all of those things that could become barriers and walls, I'm not going to let those walls rise up between us. I'm going to reach out to them. Now, maybe you guys hear this message all the time, but I'm appalled at how many churches across America that are independent Baptist churches like this one don't understand that. And I have preached this message in churches where even the pastor came up to me and he says, you know, I never stopped to think about this. I know some different peoples from different ethnic groups, and I've not even made an attempt to reach out to them. And I'm finding this everywhere I go, that people just don't realize what God has been doing in our own backyards. The second thing I want you to notice about this, if you look at verse 7, a very simple statement that he makes. He says, give me to drink. Simple statement, isn't it? What's he doing there? Well, for one thing, he's asking for her help before he offers his help to her. But what he's doing is he's starting a conversation with her. He's starting a simple conversation. One of the things that we learned when we went to Hainan back in 1996, started teaching in a foreign language school, is how to start a conversation. I can remember going to the tops of tall buildings there in Hong Kong with a bucket load of tracks, because those buildings had hundreds and hundreds of apartments just in one building. We'd start at the top because we were smart. Instead of starting in the bottom and walk up, we'd start at the top and walk down. I mean, 20-some-odd stories. And we'd go to all the doors on every floor, pat and knock on the door, pass out a track, and do all the rest. Man, that is hard work, you know? That's not easy to do because, number one, we were foreigners. They called us in Hong Kong Guailo, and so, you know, you're a strange dude, and you're bringing, what are you doing here knocking on my door? It's getting like that in America, isn't it? Kind of hard to knock on doors, but you know, there's along came Starbucks, and by the way, I don't really like Starbucks, so. But you know, Starbucks has opened. My son-in-law said he was going to work. I said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to Starbucks. I said, what? He said, yeah, that's where my office is. You know, that's not necessarily a bad thing, because other people do the same thing. You can start some really good conversations over a cup of dumb Starbucks coffee, expensive dumb Starbucks coffee. I mean, there's all sorts of things that you can do in places like that. I'm not saying you got to go to Starbucks, but I'm saying get that conversation rolling with somebody. If every one of us in this room started a conversation tomorrow or sometime this week and allowed God to build on that conversation, what might happen? Whether it's another ethnic group or a person of the same background that you are, it doesn't really matter. But certainly there's going to be some opportunities out there. Jesus went to the woman. He asked her help. He begins a conversation. You know why he did that, don't you? Because he knew that she had some walls too. Oh, they were terrible walls. And they would have never come down. Not in 1,000 years. Not in 2 millennia would those walls have ever come down unless Jesus had gone to her and begun a conversation. We went to Hainan and met a young man at the foreign language school. His name, English name was Lance. Lance eventually got saved, but he said, you know, after he got saved, we got to talking with him, and he said, you know, I was taught all of my life that you were the bad guys. And I'm thinking, we were the bad guys? Man, I'm from Texas. And he said, yeah, you were the bad guys. We were taught this in school, you know, and be really cautious and, you know, a lot of suspicions about the Americans and so on. But he said, after getting to know you people, I realized, you know, you're just normal people. You're just normal people. People got walls out there. Their government may have helped to build some walls. Their culture, their language, all kinds of things can build up walls that prevent them from coming to you. So you've got to go to them. They may not start a conversation with you, so you start a conversation with them. That's so simple. It's almost like a duh moment, isn't it? Like, yeah, I should know that. And yet, how many of us practice doing that on a regular basis? Third thing I see in verse 10, and I think this is really important. Look at what it says. If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him and he would have given thee living water. You know what Jesus is doing there? He's not hiding his true intentions. We live in a politically correct world, don't we? We live in this thing they call tolerance, which is absolutely intolerance in disguise, and not even disguised, really. But we're living in a world right here in America where it's you're almost afraid to be honest with people. Jesus wasn't afraid to be honest with this woman. He said, if you would have asked me, I would have given you living water. And of course, then she says, well, man, if you've got that, I'd like to have some of that. So it's a wonderful opportunity, great open door. And if you will just be honest with people, you know. We live overseas, and so the only news we get about America comes through the internet. That's the only way for us to find out anything that's going on. And that means it's going through the media outlets on the internet. And that means that about 95% of what we hear is probably slanted or wrong, or what they call now false news, I guess. And so we never quite know, but you get an impression sometimes about reality when that's all the information that you have. So what I would encourage all of us to do is listen less to that and listen more to the man or the woman next door. Talk to them. Get to know them. Start the conversation and be honest with them. Let them know who you are. Let them know your heart for them and see what God begins to do in your life and in their life. Jesus did not hide his true intentions, and neither should we. Here's something I wrote down some time ago. Honesty and transparency that is fueled by grace and driven by love will do more to bring down walls than anything else we do. Paul said it like this in Colossians chapter 4. He said, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. But here's something that I want you to think about tonight. Before you can ever share your true intentions with that new friend, that person from another ethnic group, or perhaps just a neighbor across the street, understand this. Sometimes we're the bigger problem than they are. Sometimes we're the bigger problem than they are, because I want you to notice verse 27. Very, very instructive. Upon this came his disciples, and what's the word there? He marveled. Or they marveled. Not Jesus. They marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? Perhaps that's a polite way of saying the disciples were judging Jesus for what he was doing, but they just didn't want to say so. I'm not sure. Sometimes we're the problem. Judgment without all the facts is just a guess, and most guesses are wrong. The walls of these disciples came up even as Jesus was trying to show them how to bring them down. So we need to learn, number two, that God always has a plan. He always has a plan, and oftentimes, probably all the time, his plan for you and me is going to take us outside the box, outside our comfort zone. It's going to put us in circumstances that we would not ordinarily go to. A lot of people look at my wife and I and they say, well, you've been missionaries now for 35 years, and they sort of think we were born to this. Nothing could be further from the truth. If you had could go back with me 37, 38, 39, maybe 40 years ago, I had no clue hardly where Hong Kong was, or mainland China for that matter. The only thing I knew about China was is that my mother said, eat your food because the kids in China are starving to death. That was back during the Cultural Revolution. And they were. They really were. I didn't understand that, but they were. But I had no clue. I had no ambition to go to China. Probably shouldn't have gone to China. We took that linguistics examination many, many years ago, and they came back with the results, and they sat us down at a table, and they said, have you guys ever thought about going to an English-speaking country? So I don't know why. Only God can figure that thing out. But I want you to understand that God has a plan. I love what it says back in Genesis chapter 12, down in verse 3. When God promises Abraham, he says, in thee shall all families. That is talking about that same ethnos, that ethne, that those nations of the earth. All families of the earth are going to be blessed in thee. I believe that you and I are living in a very special time. And oh, I want you to see this tonight. And I'm preaching to the choir here, and I almost hesitated, Pastor, to preach a message like this. But I think that perhaps a church like this is already so far ahead of the curve, if you will, that you can do so much more, perhaps even than what you're already doing. So we're living in a period of time when God, it's specifically designed by God, I believe, for Christians like you and me, so that not only do we send our people to the fields of the world. And again, don't be surprised to hear me sort of kind of backtracking on this, because I'm not backtracking on it. But I'm saying there's something that needs to be and can be and should be done right here in America, because God has brought those mission fields to our front doors. And it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. Despite what some people may say, it's not a refugee problem. It's a great opportunity to evangelize the nations. There's a couple of keys for understanding God's plan. Two words I want to leave with you tonight. The first word is immigration. Some say that the 21st century is a century of immigration. The second word is urbanization, and they say the same thing. It's the urban century. In the nation of China, the rural areas of China are moving into the cities at a phenomenal rate. It has gone from How would I put this? 400 million people living in the cities and 800 million living in the countryside. It has been totally reversed. And that reversal is going to continue to where it's 80-20 at some point in the next probably 20 or 30 years. By 2050, I think they're saying now. That's in China alone. Now, what that means for us is that our ethnic groups are going to be all of the minority groups, and the rural farmers who have lived in the villages of China all of their life coming to our cities. We recently had a pastor whose sole ministry is to the migrants, what we call them, that have come in from the rural areas of our province, and now they live in a little community right there in our city. And I was talking to a brother recently, and he said, you know, we've got groups like that scattered all around the outskirts of our city. So we've got a great mission field, a great opportunity just waiting for Christians to go to. We're going to face the same barriers and the same question marks and the same hesitancies that many Christians here in America are facing with the ethnic groups that are coming into your neighborhoods. So we have to think in terms of immigration and understand that this is what God is doing. It is a phenomena that we need to look at and understand so that we can reach out and do what God wants us to do. Go back to John chapter 4, look at verse 28 with me. The woman then left her water pot. She went her way into the city, and she saith to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and they came to him. I don't know about you, but do you see the contrast there? Do you see what the disciples were doing and what the woman is doing? Isn't it like a reversal of roles in your mind? Wasn't she doing what they were supposed to be doing? She was going back to her village. She was going back to her people. And by the way, if you know the story and you know the backstory, if you will, you know, it probably wasn't easy for her to go back to her people because there were some issues, things that had happened morally and so on in her life with some of those guys that she went back to. But something had happened when the message of the gospel was presented to her. It changed her so much that the barriers that had separated her even from her own people had now come down. And she was able to reach back into that village in ways that the disciples were standing there dumbfounded about. They didn't even know what to do yet. And yet that was the very reason why Jesus had taken them into the city to talk to that woman. So here we have a beautiful illustration of everything I want to say to you tonight. And this is what I want you to try to get and understand, if you will. When God's bringing these folks to this country, we know there's a plan. We know that there is a reason for it. Most of them, some of them, are escaping a life. For example, if you had lived in Syria or certain nations in Africa, to be able to leave those places and to come to a place like America, probably they think they've reached the promised land in certain respects. It's so much different for them, so much better for them, at least in some ways. But what if churches like Pacific Baptist Church were mobilized, and perhaps, Pastor, you guys already are, certainly through your Bible college, you have a tremendous opportunity here, but you're mobilized to not only reach out to those ethnic groups, but reach into those ethnic groups to build those relationships, to see some of those folks saved, and then to begin the training process so that they, just like this old boy from West Texas, some of them will catch a vision for going back to their own people. Who do you think can reach people in Burma better than Burmese? Who do you think can reach people in Somalia better than Somalians? Who do you think can reach people in Pakistan better than Pakistanis? And that's what we see happening in this story. And so if we as churches, we as Christians, we as Bible colleges understand that, and we mobilize ourselves to reach into these ethnic groups that God is bringing into our back door, then the sky's the limit on what could possibly happen. The sad part about this story is that the disciples didn't quite get it. Not at this point. Later they will get it. God's good. God's patient with us, isn't he? But they had to learn. They had to learn, didn't they? So Jesus says to them in verse 32, they're asking him to eat something. He says, I have meat to eat that you know not of. So the disciples are saying, well, who's brought him lunch? They still don't get what is going on. By the way, there's a great definition of missions found here in verse 34 when Jesus says this. He says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. One word definition of missions, work. Work. So Jesus takes them to a neighborhood just down the road within walking distance. Can't call this foreign missions. These were neighbors. but they were so different. And the climax of the story comes in verse 35. Look at it. Say not ye there yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And many of the Samaritans, as he says those words, many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. Lift up your eyes, Christians. Tonight, tomorrow, next week, lift up your eyes. Trish and I are going to go back to China, Lord willing, next Monday night. We got our visa for another 2 years. Praise the Lord. We're going to go back there, and we're going to go to a city of 7 million people. Most of them are Han Chinese. But what we're seeing is people coming in from the rural countryside. Some of them are minority groups. You go to our city, and you'll see people wearing their minority costumes. It's quite an amazing sight. And so we have a great opportunity in our own culture to reach into these ethnic groups, distinct ethnic groups. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be hard. We have people who are Muslim in their faith, very, very high walls to reach into some of those groups. But in our church, we have some people who are part of those ethnic groups. And if those ethnic groups are going to be reached with the gospel, it's going to be people like them who are best equipped and best suited to go back to those groups and reach them. The same thing is going to be true for us. Outreach begins and must begin with friendship. And I want to encourage you as a Christian individually, as a Christian family, certainly as a church, I want you to, and I'm sure you guys probably already do that, but really think about the importance of building friendships as a means to tearing down some of the walls that divide us and separate us. Have those conversations across the table. Take the time to get to know people. I was talking to a pastor, and he was saying that he has some foreign exchange students that he teaches on a regular basis. And that's a great opportunity right there, by the way, to reach into some different ethnic groups. And one of those students, he says, was a student from China. And he said, this guy came, and he said to this man, he said, I don't even know if there is a God. And this brother looked at me and he says, where do I start? And I said, brother, you already have. You already have. And that's what it takes. It's going to take time. It's going to take patience. It's going to take a lot of love. It's going to take prayer. And it's going to take the gospel. Because you remember what Paul said to the Roman church as he began that great epistle to the Romans. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it's a power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That's the life-changing message. It works in every culture, every nation, every family of the earth. And it'll work for the people right across the street from where you live or right down the block. So as we close tonight, this has not been the kind of a sermon that I like to preach when I come to a church, but it's been a sermon, a message that God's laid on my heart to share with the churches in America for the short time that we're here tonight. So here's what I'd like to ask you to do. And I want you to be very sincere and honest about this. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand if you would say, Lord, I would like for you to lift up my eyes. I would like to ask you, Lord, to show me some people in my city, in my neighborhood, in my domain, and in my environment, where I live. It may be where you go to school. It may be where you go to work. It may be in your neighborhood. It may be just people that you know through various means of contact that you have throughout the week. But you want to say, Lord, lift up my eyes to see some of these people that I have not been looking at. And Lord, give me an opportunity to reach into their lives slowly but surely, prayerfully and hopefully powerfully by the power of the gospel and the work of the Holy Spirit to see people's lives transformed. Because one day, some of those very people who've come to your shore may go back to theirs. Just like the woman at the well went back to her own people and powerfully shared the gospel with them so that the whole village gets saved. We have been doing missions, Pastor, for a long time here in America, since the early, 1800s, I suppose, if you go all the way back to the first missionaries who were sent out of this country. How are we doing? Well, we're not doing too bad. There's a lot of good statistics out there, if you believe all of them. But there's still a great number of peoples, and you have heard missionaries come to this pulpit and talk to you about the 1040 window, Pastor Tomlinson and many, many others, and talk about the great needs in certain parts of the world. And I want to say to you tonight, we've got to do more than just send our best to the fields of the world. We've got to send their best. And because God is bringing them to us, this is our great opportunity to prepare them to go back to their own. And it's my prayer that a church like Pacific Baptist Church, that is strategically positioned in a city like Long Beach with such a diverse culture, ethnic culture, so many different cultures. Do you have any idea how many cultures live here? There's a bunch of them, aren't there? Represented right here tonight, many of them. Praise God for that. What an opportunity you guys have. In fact, man, I could go on now because I'm just getting warmed up right now, but we'll stop because I want you to stand. But I want you to think about this. That it just occurred to me. Because you already have such a great representation of cultures here, you're already 10 miles ahead of most churches. I mean, I've been in churches, they're all white boys, I'm sorry. I mean, they got a long way to go, but you guys are already halfway there. Because you may know the language. You certainly understand the culture. You understand how people from your ethnic group think and feel. And you understand some of the burdens and problems and issues and walls that have been erected in their hearts and minds. Who better than you to go back to them and reach them for the cause of Christ? So let's do this right now. If you say, Brother Baucom, I get at least a little bit of what you're trying to say tonight. And what I think you're trying to say is that I need God to open my eyes to see some people right here, right now. And they may be from a different ethnic group. They may just be the guy across the street. But I need the Lord to open up my eyes. And if you say, I want to be a part of that, I'd like for you to stand with me right now. I want to be a part of that. I want God to open my eyes. Don't do it just because everybody else is doing it. Do it because you really want God to open your eyes. And don't be surprised if sometime this week God points somebody to you and just, boom, there they are. I want to say to you, go get them. Go get them. But don't just shove a tract down their throats. Love them. Listen to them. Buy them lunch. I wonder if there's any Muslims living in Long Beach. I wonder if there's any imams in Long Beach. Places of worship? Yeah. You ever thought about taking an imam to lunch? Well, no. Why not? Why not? Father,